Next week has been designated as National Problem Gambling Awareness Week. And the purpose of the event is, as they say, to raise awareness of the consequences of problem gambling and the resources available for individuals whose gambling is causing disruption in their lives. So there are basically two issues that they want to address. The one is the consequences of gambling. The other is the resources that are available. And for the world, this serves a purpose. This would be their approach. But what about us? How do we approach the problem of gambling? And you notice that I did not say problem gambling, as though there is a non-problem gambling. The problem of gambling. Of course, the more one indulges in it, the greater the problem becomes. But how do we approach it? Do we start by warning people of the consequences? Well, that's like going to the end of the problem and then trying to solve it from there. What I would rather do is go to the beginning and solve it from there. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there you have it. Have what, you say? The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world, and all those who dwell therein. God created all things, therefore all things belong to God. If we don't begin with that truth, there's not really much more we can say. If all things belong to God, as we all confess in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, then it is God who decides how everything should be used. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. He makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. If we understand this, then we will realize that we are only stewards, caretakers, custodians, managers of the property of God. Believing that, we realize that he's the master and we are only the servants. It is the master who decides on the disposition of his own property. And as for us, we merely carry out his wishes. And so it is that we go back to the beginning of everything. Everything that is used for gambling. The beginning of all material things. We also go back to the beginning of all spiritual things. We go back to Calvary and the cross of Christ. And as we stand at the foot of the cross, it becomes abundantly clear to us that we have so terribly fouled up what God has created. Our first father and mother decided to do what they wanted to do with God's possessions. And so they took something that belonged to God and they ate it, contrary to his command. This plunged us all into a lifestyle of taking God's stuff and doing with it as pleases us. And what pleased us was sin. So the focus was no longer on what does God want me to do. The focus was on I, me, me, me. It's all about me and what I want. As a result, we heaped sin upon sin, evil upon evil, until the mountain of our wickedness reached up to the heavens like a huge pile of stinking, rotting filth. And in this filth, we wallowed day and night. Now here we stand on Calvary. And here we see the wonder of God's grace. His Son hanging there as a man upon the cross. His Son allowing the fullness of our wickedness, along with the well-deserved punishment, to engulf him, body and soul. There on the cross, he is paying the full price for our sins. He's earning for us forgiveness, life, everlasting salvation. What does that have to do with gambling? Well, gambling is rooted in sin. It's rooted in the I, me, kind of thinking, the attitude of the sinful nature. Without sin, we would not be interested in getting the money that God has given to somebody else. We'd not be interested in making it our goal to get rich. We would just let God bless our labor in whatever way He chooses. Without sin, we would be using what God has given to us to help others, to provide for the family, to help the poor and the needy, to support the work of government, and to support the work of God's church here on earth. The thought of making ourselves richer at the expense of somebody else would not even enter our minds without sin. And so on Calvary, we learn that we've been redeemed from sin. We've been set free from its power. Our minds and hearts have been transformed so that our thoughts and our desires are in perfect tune with the thoughts and desires of God. It is on Calvary that we are set free from gambling, set free to use God's property the way the Creator wants us to use it. Now, I could bring up a bunch of Bible passages that say, do not do this and do not do that. I'll let you do that. If you were with me on the creation thing and you learned what that meant, if you're with me on Calvary and you learned what that meant, then you are, on your own, going to be searching the Bible to find out what it is that God wants you to do and not do with the property that He has placed in your care. And you're going to find plenty of information. Let me close with a passage that is really going to help you forget about becoming rich in material things. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. For our closing prayer, we use the words of Hymn 400. Hymn 400, verses 4, 5, and 6.